Welcome to the Follow Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:03 British Summer Time. Today is May 10th. Today was a relatively quiet day on global stock markets. The Chinese A shares were a little bit softer. The Hang Seng was down about 0.5%. The Japanese market, having fallen precipitously over the last couple of sessions, was also down today, but only by about 0.4%. The ASX, having failed to sustain its upward break over the last couple of days, has pulled back and is now testing the progression of higher reaction lows, and it was stronger today by about 0.5%. Elsewhere in Asia, the ASEAN sector is also pulling back, but not in a particularly dynamic fashion. The Thai market, having pushed onto new high ground, is pulling back. The Indonesian market is a little bit softer. The Filipino market is also a bit softer in here. The Malaysian market is probably the weakest of the four, but again hasn't pulled back by any great margin. Now, the Singapore market has pulled back rather sharply. It's right back towards the lower side of its range. It's back, in other words, to an area of potential support. In Europe, perhaps the most outstanding mover today was the Spanish market. It was up over 3%. It was down very heavily yesterday. It unwound a good portion of that decline in here today. The Italian market was also a bit stronger, up about 1.1 2/3%. The rest of Europe was in positive territory, but not in a really dynamic fashion. The FTSE was up by about 0.25%, the DAX up by about 0.75%. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones is closing out the day relatively unchanged. It's up just under 20 points, the S&P up 3, and the NASDAQ in slightly negative territory. The Brazilian market has been pulling back over the last couple of weeks. It's back below 60,000. The real is one of the weaker currencies globally at present, and the US dollar has broken out of an almost year-long range against the real. The two markets that have the weakest currencies are Brazil and India. The Indian rupee is brushing its all-time lows against the US dollar. The US dollar is back above 50 rupees. And Brazil, where the real has more than doubled in value against the US dollar over the last decade, has now broken downwards. And looked at the other way around, the US dollar has broken upwards out of a well-defined range, and a clear downward dynamic and failed upside break would now really be required to question additional weakness for the real. And that would suggest that the stock market is unlikely to be among the leaders at least in US dollar terms, in any type of recovery type scenario, as long as that currency continues to weaken at this type of rate, or at least as long as it is trending lower. In the commodity markets, it was also a relatively quiet day. The industrial metals were all a little bit steadier. The gold market was firmer today by about $5. It still needs to demonstrate that demand is coming back at progressively higher levels. If we have moved through the distribution phase of this corrective environment in gold, then we're back to an area where support should be encountered, and we should start to, if gold is going to start to build support once more and be able to support a move to new highs, then we will start to see progressions of higher reaction lows starting to come in, and a bit more steadier environment generally. Gold bugs, and the gold bugs index and gold miners have been among the weakest stock market sectors over the last month or two. They're oversold in the short term. The Gold Bugs Index posted an upside key reversal yesterday. There was no follow-through in here today, but it did hold the majority of the advance. There's a short-term progression of lower rally highs. If that progression of lower rally highs gets taken out, then the potential for short covering will have increased really quite substantially in the Gold Bugs Index. So the pullback that we've had over the last 6 weeks is beginning to present opportunities in some of the harder hit markets. We, as of yet, don't have any clear evidence that this pullback is over. And the European situation, which has been the cause celebre for the bearish case over the last 18 months, remains very much front and center. It's really up for grabs whether the Greeks can agree to a national unity government or whether there's going to be an additional round of elections. It's an unknown as to which way the new French administration is going to jump on the fiscal treaty. And there are, if you go through the European banking sector, and I did a filter for this earlier today, and you look at the banks that are making new all-time lows, there are a number of those in Spain. Crédit Agricole in France continues to deteriorate, and there are a number of other weak banks in Italy and in a number of other European countries, not least in Austria. So it's not really an exaggeration to say that the European banking sector is broke, that the LTRO program is going to have to be extended, and it will have to be extended in a meaningful way if further nationalizations are going to be avoided. The problem with nationalizations, with Spain taking over Bankia, and it is worth mentioning that Bankia has only been in existence for about a year, where they took seven banks that were about to fail and pushed them all into this bad bank. And that bad bank is now having to be nationalized, which is socializing the debt and pushing an increasing burden onto the sovereign. So, whereas the Spanish government bond yield was down a bit in here today, on a spread basis, it hit a new all-time high against bunds yesterday. And that does suggest that, and when, particularly with Spain, that new all-time high, that means that it is now at a wider spread over bunds than it was before convergence began for the Eurozone. That's a very high level. It suggests that if an increasing number of the Spanish banks will need to be nationalized, then the government is going to have to intervene and take on those debts, in which case it's going to put additional pressure on the sovereign and increase the possibility that there's going to have to be a bailout. That's looking at the market from a negative perspective. Now, if we look at it from a solution-oriented perspective rather than a problem-oriented perspective, then we can see that the ECB is going to extend the LTRO program, that more money is going to have to be put into the European Stability Mechanism, and that the funds will become available to fund additional bailouts for both the banking sector and any sovereign that gets into trouble as a result of having to take on these financial sector debts. So, while we've had this volatility, and at this point it is worth remembering that we had the best start to a year in at least 14 years from January through to March. And we have now moved into a more rangy and volatile environment, where leading stock markets continue to hold up best. The S&P 500 has really been very steady over the last 6 weeks. It's almost completely reverted back to its mean in arranging consolidation. Obviously, with the problems that are in Europe, it is the European stock markets that have experienced most of the selling pressure and where most of the pressure has been evident. They represent the epicenter of risk at present. People are worried about contagion. They're worried about a worst-case scenario. One thing that we've learned since December is that the ECB is willing to do what is necessary to ensure its own survival. And at present, that means lending more money to the banks and making things a little bit easier for governments that want and that are willing to play ball and sort out their balance sheets. So sentiment has deteriorated considerably in the last couple of weeks. But we know where the end game for this type of situation lies. We do not have evidence yet that this corrective phase has ended. We are getting back to interesting levels in some of our favorite investment vehicles. Reversions back to the mean are generally relatively good buying opportunities and sound entry points for consistent medium-term uptrends once support has been demonstrated in a potential area where we would expect support to be reasserted. So these markets are worth monitoring, and it is probably not a profitable exercise to indulge in the worst-case scenario type of banter and contemplation, because if central banks have done anything over the last 3 or 4 years is that they've broken everyone's expectations of just how much money they can create. The euro remains a political project. It remains integral to the euros, to the European perception of the way the world should work. They're going to continue to support it. If stock markets had a wonderful first 3 months of the year, government bonds have accelerated higher over the last 6 weeks. They're becoming increasingly overextended, whereas stock markets don't yet show any evidence that the pullback has ended. Government bonds are becoming increasingly overextended in the other direction, and they don't yet show any clear evidence that they've lost upward momentum. But we're likely to again see a switch out of one asset class and into the other when sentiment begins to turn, or when we get a catalyst from one or more central banks. And that is probably a bit closer than I think many people are willing to contemplate at present. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.